All right. Let me share. Our scripture today is from Exodus chapter 17, verse 1 to 7. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this chance to read your word, to be able to be informed by your Holy Spirit in our lives. And we ask you, Lord, for that great mercy, that your Spirit is with us, opening up our hearts and our minds to receive what it is that you have for us. Truly, we pray that we just want to hear from you. We thank you, Lord, that through your mercy you have spoken to us in so many different ways. We pray that as we expound upon your word, that this expounding is according to your Spirit. And anything that is not from you, we pray, is forgotten. May your light shine this day, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Exodus chapter 17, verse 1 to 7. Hear now God's word. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go out in front of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, how many of you, out of tradition or habit, make a New Year's resolution on January 1st? Raise your hand if you do. I do. It's just tradition for me to every year to make a New Year's resolution, and to break a New Year's resolution. I do it all kinds of different things. I don't know why. To do weight loss, or to eat right, or to spend more time with the kids, or take care, whatever, clean the dishes every day. All kinds of different New Year's resolutions every year that I end up making and breaking. But I tell you, if I could just take the moment right now to go back to January 1st, I would make a whole set of New Year's resolutions knowing what I know now. 2020 has been a weird year. So weird, in fact, that there's a saying that I found that's been popping up all over the place, that if anything strange should happen, someone inevitably says, "Well, that's 2020 for you." That it seems like anything goes this year. I don't think I would be surprised by anything. We have had our first global pandemic in 100 years, hit this year. We have civil unrest, the likes of which we haven't seen in a very, very long time. We have a political divide that, again, the likes of which we haven't seen in a very, very long time. And I read this in an article. It's been a little while now. But there is a 0.01% that we are going to hit by an asteroid. The asteroid is on a collision course with Earth. Again, 0.01%, so they don't think it's going to hit us at all, but it's going to pass us fairly closely. And I think I may have mentioned this before, do you know the date that that asteroid is supposed to hit us? The day before the election. That asteroid is supposed to hit us the day before the election. November 2nd, this asteroid is supposed to either hit us or miss us. At 2020, folks, I mean, who knows what's going to happen this year? And we still got, what is this, September? Not three more months or so to go. So sky's the limit as to what happens. And I tell you, this isn't easy stuff, the stuff that we've been facing 2020. All of it has been very trying and very difficult. And I look at, and never would I have ever imagined that I would be worshiping God together with half of us on Zoom, half of us in the social hall wearing masks. That was not part of my New Year's resolution on January 1st. But as we read our scripture today, the Israelites too find themselves in a very interesting position that, again, they would never have dreamed of prior to this happening, that they would be in the middle of the desert, the whole nation, the whole group of people, however many thousands of them there were, standing together in the middle of a desert, wanting water. Never crossed their mind. You know, and we read about this Exodus time and time again. It's a very popular scripture. Many of us know about the Exodus. And one of the things that keeps on coming up when we read about the Exodus is what? The Israelites are complaining. And we get on them again and again about the Israelites complaining. Why are you complaining? Well, when they complain about things like not having enough food and not being able to drink what water. I don't know. Rereading this, maybe I'm thinking we're a little bit too hard on the Israelites. Certainly, if I didn't have any food, I would be complaining that I didn't have any food. Certainly, if I didn't have any water and I was standing in the middle of a desert, I would be complaining that I didn't have any water and I'm standing in the middle of a desert. But we get on them and we're hard on them. Why? Because every time they have a need, God has provided for that need. And they keep complaining, I want to go back to be a slave because at least there I had food and water. Instead of doing what? Going to the Lord and saying, Lord, you've provided for us before. I know you'll provide for us again. But you got a picture where the Israelites are at. There's thousands of them spread across the desert. They're looking up at Moses, and all they see standing before them is sands, barren wilderness, and a giant rock. And when you look at that, it doesn't scream water. It doesn't scream life. It doesn't scream hope. It screams desolation and death. And so they cry out to Moses. Now, for those who are eagle eye in their scripture, they may recognize that there are two stories of Moses bringing water from a rock listed in the Bible. Now, you know the story about Moses not being able to go in the promised land, right? Do you remember why Moses wasn't able to go in the promised land? Because he didn't listen to God, and he struck the rock out of anger, and water came out. Now, if you heard me read this scripture, God told Moses to strike the rock, and water came out. Different story. In the other story, God told Moses to speak to the rock and water came out. This has a different focus, where the focus of the other story is Moses' anger and the disobedience he had towards God. This story is strictly about God's provisions. The Israelites are standing in the middle of the desert. They're thirsty. They complain to God, you're going to kill us. or they complained to Moses. Moses said, why complain? God's helped you so many times. He goes to God, what am I going to do about these people? I mean, I understand that. I complain to God sometimes. God, these kids that you gave me. Now, I love my kids very much. I'd never do that. But then God's complaining to Moses, or Moses complaining to God, these people, what the heck are we going to do about them? God says, look, listen, here's what's going to happen. Now imagine for a second, you're an elder of Israel, and you come before Moses, and Moses says, all right, guys, I talked to God. Everyone come with me to the rock. Do you think any one of the elders has any idea how God's going to provide for them or what in the world Moses wants them to do at a rock? I bet you none of those people who are standing there are going to think, oh, yeah, so this is when God brings water out of a rock. Okay, so if I were to teach a wilderness survival class, which I would never teach a wilderness, my wilderness survival requires a motel room. If I were ever able to teach a wilderness survival class, wilderness survival 101 would not be, if you're thirsty, grab the nearest rock. I don't think it would work very, 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 very well. They go up to this rock. They look at the rock. Moses strikes it, and water comes out. When you look at a rock, you don't see life-giving power. You don't see hope. You don't see God's provision looking at a rock. A rock gives us nothing but the idea of an unyielding and unforgiving nature. When you're in a boat and you see rock, you see death. When you're standing in a middle of a group of people, or you're standing across from someone and they pick up a rock, you're not going to think that they're going to give you life-giving power, but they're going to throw it at you, and that is probably going to hurt. A rock is not something where we see life and hope and peace. But God somehow is able to make life, hope, and peace flow from that rock. And we come to 2020. And when we look at this year that we've been living in, we don't see a whole lot of life, hope, and peace. We don't look at the pandemic and have warm, fuzzy feelings. We don't look at our civil unrest and feel a lot of happiness. We don't look at our political divide and see a lot of peace there either. This is not a good year for hope and peace. But if God can bring water out of an unyielding rock, God can bring hope and peace in any situation that we find ourselves in. In fact, the Bible is full of it. How many of you have on your person a cross of some sort? On Zoom, we got any crosses? How many people here have crosses in your house? Many people on Zoom have crosses in their home. All right, so how about if I give you, instead of wearing a cross, I suggest that we all come to worship next Sunday wearing an electric chair hanging from our neck. Or how about you tie a noose and you hang that around your neck as a decorative feature. No one would think about doing that. But in fact, the cross was just that. It was capital punishment. It was death. Prior to Christ, whenever anyone looked at a cross, all they saw was death and shame. No one prior to Jesus would ever think about wearing a cross around their neck. Prior to Jesus Christ, you see someone walking down the street with a piece of jewelry and a cross hanging from their neck. You don't think, hey, look at that wonderful person. You would think the same way if you see someone walking down the street wearing an electric chair hanging from their neck. What a weirdo. Like, why in the world would they be celebrating death? But the redemptive power of God through Jesus Christ is so powerful that even from a cross, God's able to bring life. Life so completely that now every time we look at the cross, we don't think of shame or regret or death or despair. The first thing that we think of when we see the cross is life through Jesus Christ. Hope, peace, the power of God. God's ability to bring water from a rock, to bring life from unyielding despair, is alive and well and extremely powerful. But it's also quite surprising. We don't know what that's going to look like. We don't know how that's going to happen, but we know that it can happen. That through this pandemic that we're experiencing, God's power to bring life and hope and peace is still alive and well and happening in so many different ways and will continue to happen. And I see that life and that hope today, that we're able to gather together in the name of Jesus Christ, together wherever we are. I see you wearing the mask here in the social hall. I see all of you on Zoom. We're worshiping God in the middle of this pandemic. We're experiencing joy and hope and peace in a time that we would never even dream of. That hope and peace and joy will come out of the civil unrest one way or another. We can expect God's love to be seen, and we need to start looking for it. That this November 3rd, somebody is going to be elected. This November 3rd, somebody is going to be upset. But God's hope and peace and love will be able to see no matter who is elected. That God is greater than whatever happens. And God's love and hope and peace will not be able to be diminished. If we serve a God who can bring water from an unyielding rock, who can make the cross a symbol of hope, who can raise Jesus from dead, who loves even me, then we can serve a God. Then we serve a God who brings hope, life, and peace in the most difficult of situations, even the year 2020. And we can thank God for that. And we can trust God for that. So I leave you with this benediction today. Romans 8:38-39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen and amen. Go in peace and have a wonderful day.